The new Starz series, Marianne George, starring Julianne Moore and Nicholas Galitzine, tells a story almost too outrageous to be true, but it shockingly is. With nothing to her name and looking to elevate her social standing, Mary Villers sets her handsome and charming son, George, on the path to seduce King James I and become his all-powerful lover. This show is full of wit, scandal, action. You will not be able to look away. I know, because I couldn't. Watch the season premiere of Mary and George now, only on Starz and the Starz app.
This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Let's hit it. Give me a vacation.
Vacation.
Give me a wave.
Surfing.
Give me a city tour.
The trolley.
Give me animals.
The zoo.
Give me some sea life. Give me museums.
Balboa Park.
Give me a woo.
Roller coaster.
What's that spell?
San Diego.
If you're happy and you know it, San Diego is the place to show it. Book your family vacation at sandiego.org. Funded in part with the City of San Diego Tourism Marketing District Assessment Funds.
Hey everyone, it's Sophia. Welcome to Work in Progress. Welcome back, Whip Smarties. This week's Work in Progress is particularly special and close to my heart, not only because today's guest and I are going to talk about a movie we made together, but because today's guest happens to be one of my oldest friends from my first job. You may remember a little show called One Tree Hill, and today we are joined by none other than Brian Greenberg. You may not know that Brian was born in Oklahoma, Nebraska, and then raised in St. Louis, Missouri. He graduated from NYU with a Bachelor of Fine Arts, and in his New York journey was on shows like Law & Order, booked his big screen debut in a civil action. He worked on several amazing TV series, including The Sopranos, also Boston Public and Third Watch. He came into my world via a wonderful movie called The Perfect Score, which led him to work on One Tree Hill and play our very favorite Jake Jagielski. He left us to go work on a show produced by none other than George Clooney for HBO, which we're all still a little sad about, but it's okay. He's gone on to make so many incredible films, like one of my very favorite rom-coms ever, Prime. And casually, while doing all of this, has released a number of albums. He is an incredible singer-songwriter. He also is a wonderful dad. He and his lovely wife, Jamie Chung, have two beautiful little boys. And Jamie happens to be in this incredible film with us as well. The film is called Junction. It is coming out in theaters Friday, January 26th. Junction chronicles the modern-day opioid crisis in America from three different points of view: the CEO of a pharmaceutical company, a doctor who prescribes the medications, and a patient who is addicted to them. Each character is going to have to come face-to-face with all of the decisions they've made, all of the complexities of their lives, and what their roles are in this epidemic. The movie is powerful and emotional and inspiring and at times scary and at times funny. Brian and I actually laughed a lot making this film, and I'm just so excited to talk with him about it because not only does he star in it, not only did he direct it, he also wrote it. It's been a passion project of his for the last 4 years, and I'm so proud to be a part of it. I'm so proud of him for getting it made, and I'm sure, like me, you have so many questions for him, so let's dive in and hear from Brian. Well, this feels really exciting. I can't believe that we're sitting here. You know, we just went to an event a couple of weeks ago. It's award season, and you know, everybody's out celebrating movies, and you posted that photo of us, and you were like, "Our friendship is 20 years old," and I was like, "Oh my god, our friendship is almost old enough to order a beer in a bar."
It's crazy. Our friendship could go to war for sure.
Like, what?
Yeah.
Is happening.
Our friendship would be a sophomore in college or a junior in college.
Yeah, sophomore in college. I know we all do this because we've been friends forever, but you know, you look around and you go like, are we really the grown-ups now? Is that a thing? Who do we ask for help when we need it or like advice? Now people are asking us for advice, and something about you saying our friendship is 20 years old, I was like, wait, we really are the grown-ups now?
I know. I always have to kind of pinch myself. Now I'm like a father too. I'm always like, oh, I have to be like the authority. But you, in my mind, I'm still like a kid. You know,
yeah.
Even like being a director, you're just like, oh, you're the one that's supposed to have the answers. Like, I'm not used to having that. You know, I know what you mean. I still, in my mind, I'm still like 20 years old.
Yeah. I feel like there's just a perpetual state of being 24 that lasts through, I guess, most of your adulthood.
I think what it is when when you're our age, you realize that like, oh, wait, everybody's just kind of bullshitting. Like, nobody really has. Like, there is no authority figures. Like, no one knows what's going on. Like, no. When you're 20, you're like, oh, the older people get it. They know what's going on. But then you become the older people. You're like, oh, I'm just as clueless as ever.
Yeah. You really realize everybody's just kind of faking it till they make it perhaps forever.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we're old. Everybody knows it.
There it is.
Thank God we spent our whole 20s locked in a soundstage, so we have great skin. But none of that is the point of why we're here. The point of being here is to talk about really all of the things that led to this amazing project that we got to do together. But I actually want to go not just to the beginning, you know, 4 years in the making of you getting Junction out into theaters. I actually want to go way back.
Okay.
Because... like way back, because most people who will see that you're on the podcast this week will go, oh, I know him from this, or I got introduced to him on that show or in that movie. But I like to go back to the beginning and talk to all of my guests about who they were as kids. Mm. Because I think everyone always says hindsight's 20/20. It's really easy from wherever we are to look back and see how all the dots connect. And if we go back to you being a little kid, say like 8, 9 years old in Omaha.
Yep.
Were you into performing or did you think you were going to be an athlete? Can you see how that whole journey got you here or does it seem like another life?
No. Yes, it does feel like another life. But, and yes, I did think I was going to be an athlete and no, did not become an athlete. but, you know, I think I really got into at like 10 years, well, 8 or 9, I just remember like running around Omaha, Nebraska with my shoes off. I never wore shoes.
Really?
Yeah, I would just like run around and like playing creeks. I was like Huckleberry Finn or something, you know? Yeah, it was just like so Midwest. And I just remember my imagination was huge. I love building forts and creating stories and making little, I wanted to be like, I remember I wanted to be a baseball player and a mad scientist. I think Back to the Future just came out and I was really into like Doc Brown or something.
That feels right.
Yeah. And then I started doing like local theater and I realized at a very young age, like around 10, that, oh, if I'm an actor, I can do all those things. Mm. And so I'm one of those weirdos that like I fell in love with it at a young age, acting and storytelling. And I've kind of dedicated my whole existence in life. I found my purpose and I was like, that's it. I just narrowed in on it and mm-hmm. I've never stopped. I've had an amazing life. I'm very grateful. But I do feel like I've had a very narrow focus and point of view my entire life. Like it's only through the filter of storytelling and being an artist. Like I never pursued anything but that.
That's so cool. How did you wind up doing local theater so young? Did you ask your parents or did you have a friend getting into it? What was the sort of bottleneck?
All right, I'll tell you the origin story, right?
Yeah.
So my parents were, you know, like we were running errands with my sister and I, and my younger sister, and she was in ballet, and she had an audition for the local Nutcracker at the Omaha Ballet at the Omaha Conservatory, which they do every year. And I was with them, and they were, she was auditioning, and then they came out and asked me if I wanted to audition. And I was like, I don't dance. I don't, you know, I'm 10. I don't wear shoes. They're like, oh, we need boys for the play. It'd be great. Or for the ballet. And so I like went in there. I just remember like doing cartwheels, and like I had ADHD. So I was just like bouncing off the walls doing whatever. And I got the part and of Fritz, which is like the main kid. And I got to get off school for 3 weeks and tour and perform and feel what it was like to be part of a troupe.
Wow.
And I just loved it. I was like getting in wardrobe, and I mean, I wasn't a great dancer, but I did love like the facade of like being backstage and then coming on stage. That was really cool to me. And so when I came back, I didn't really pursue ballet, but I started getting into like local community. There was a theater called the Emmy Giffords Theater, Children's Theater, which in Omaha. And I remember doing Oliver, the play there. And mm-hmm. I just loved it. And then my dad got a new job, and he moved the family to St. Louis from Omaha. So I was around 12 years old, and I didn't know anybody really. And I thought, well, hey, you know, when I did plays, I would meet new people, and that's a good way to socialize. And I love doing that. So I just kept doing it. And that's sort of, I was just like a theater dork.
Wow.
All through high school. And then I, you know, moved to New York when I was 18 to get serious about it.
And what was that like? I mean, did going for college make it feel a little easier? Or did you, through theater and touring and the company, had you met agents? Did you know how to get a foot in the door? Or were you like, I'm just going to go figure it out?
No, it's funny. I mean, I was so ambitious as a kid. Like, I really wanted to do it. And I remember there was a talent scout that came through St. Louis, and he did this workshop in New Jersey where he would take young actors, and then you would learn from acting coaches and teachers, and then you would do a performance at the end of the week or 2 weeks, and agents would be there as like a showcase. And I ended up doing this camp, and I remember getting interest from an agent in New York. We performed in like an off-Broadway. I was like 15 years old or something like that. We performed in an off-Broadway theater. And there was some interest from some agents. And I told my parents, I'm like, hey, you know, these agents want me to come to New York and like try to audition this summer. I really would like to do that. And they're like, why don't you just go to camp and be a kid? And then if you really want to do this, you can do it when you're 18. And so at the time, I was really bummed out and hurt by that. Mm-hmm. But looking back, I'm so grateful because, you know, I don't know. I just feel like the more life you can live in before you become an actor, the better, you know?
Yeah.
It's such a hard business too. So I don't know. I think they intuitively knew that like heartbreak was coming. So don't why bring it on so early? Because this career is full of heartbreak and hardship. As much as it's full of, you know, amazing opportunities, and we've been so fortunate to keep working in this business for so long. But, you know, every actor has gotten their heart broken, for sure. That's part of the job.
Yeah, I think that's one of those truths that's sort of hidden from public view. People can look at careers and go, wow, you know, you've worked so consistently, or you've done so well, you made these things, and you're like, yeah, I can count myself one of the lucky ones, and still most of my life and career is based on rejection.
Yeah, yeah.
Even when you're successful, it's mostly rejection.
So really, it can take its toll on you mentally, for sure. And living in LA, that can really, because you're always, it's really unhealthy to compare yourself to other people, and you can never, it's easy to never feel like you're making it or good enough. There's always another step. There's always another level. And I think the key to happiness is just to try to get off that hamster wheel mentally and just try to pursue what's in front of you and do your best and not be in competition with anybody except yourself.
I think that's really wise. And I think your parents had such a good instinct to say, let's at least wait until you're a legal adult. Give yourself just a moment to be a kid. Because once you grow up, you know, air quotes for folks at home, you never get it back. And it's cool to hear that your parents did that. Mine did the same.
Yeah. Because your parents passionate too?
Yeah, when I really fell in love with theater, you know, and I thought I wanted to be a doctor. My big dream was to be a heart surgeon. And then I had an arts requirement at the end of middle school and I had to do a play. I was so pissed about it. I was like, this isn't for me. And then I went, oh, wait, a play is just a book that's alive. Changed my whole worldview. And then I got so into it that by, I think, the end of my sophomore year, I was asking if I could start, you know, going out on casting calls. My parents said, absolutely not. If you want to do this when you're 18, we'll have the conversation. And I'm really glad. I'm glad that I got to have a sweet, normal high school experience without all this pressure added to it. Because there's enough pressure.
Southern California, right?
Yeah, yeah. You know, I grew up in LA, like, you know, Miracle Mile area. And then in junior high, I started going to school in Pasadena. And that's where I did junior high and high school. So it was nice to just, yeah, have a moment before the baptism by fire started.
Yeah, so they're on the same wavelength.
We'll be back in just a minute, but here's a word from our sponsors. The new Starz series, Marianne George, starring Julianne Moore and Nicholas Galitzine, tells a story almost too outrageous to be true, but it shockingly is. With nothing to her name and looking to elevate her social standing, Mary Villers sets her handsome and charming son, George, on the path to seduce King James I and become his all-powerful lover. This show is full of wit, scandal, action. You will not be able to look away. I know, because I couldn't. Watch the season premiere of Mary and George now, only on Starz and the Starz app.
Hey everyone, it's Ted from Consumer Cellular, the guy in the orange sweater, and this is your wake-up call. If you're paying too much for wireless service, you don't have to keep having that nightmare. Consumer Cellular has the same fast, reliable coverage as the leading carriers for less. And for a limited time, new customers receive their second month free when they sign up and use promo code MONTHFREE by May 31st. So why keep spending more than you have to? Seriously, wake up and call 1-888-FREEDOM or visit ConsumerCellular.com.
Taxes, fees, and other third-party charges will apply. See website for additional details.
Are you tired of your scented cleaning products smelling and cleaning like meh? Then it's time for an upgrade with the power of Clorox Scentiva. With an uplifting scent that smells like coconut, Clorox Scentiva gives you powerful clean like Clorox, but a feeling like being transported to a tropical island retreat. Imagine putting your phone on Do Not Disturb, tuning out all the constant, just the feeling of warm sand in between your toes and a fruity drink in your hand. The ones with the little umbrella. Refresh your home to feel like an all-inclusive vacation by getting Clorox Scentiva. Also available in grapefruit and lavender scents at a nearby retail store.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snag a Job is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position. Warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text snag to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
So what happens when you get to New York? Like, are you a wildly responsible student at NYU doing all your homework and going on auditions? Or did you just go crazy because you had moved to New York City from Omaha and you were like, hello, world? What was happening?
I think it was more of that. I was always a little, I like to get after it a little bit. And so, you know, when I got to New York City and there's no parents and, you know, there's no campus. You're basically just a kid running around New York City. That's, you know, from the Midwest. That was like such a shock. I took on, I definitely had a lot of fun. But I was a pretty good student, I would say. I mean, I was focused on the acting stuff for sure. Mm-hmm. And I was in a conservatory type of environment 3 days a week, like 9 to 5, you know, acting class. The undergrad program at NYU is fantastic. But I was very ambitious and I started auditioning right. I found an agent, started doing commercials, started doing like little guest stars. Like I got like a word on The Sopranos. I got killed on Law and Order. you know, I got a movie, you know, a civil action. So I started getting on sets and I was like doing extra work. So I was like one of those kids who was like working and also going to school. I didn't get a series or anything like that, but just like little enough to like learn what it's like to be on a set and enough getting enough credit. So after I finished college, and I came out to LA, I didn't come to LA with nothing. I had like some New York credits, which was super helpful to get in. Even though I had one word on The Sopranos, they were like, "Ooh, Sopranos." I was like, "Yeah."
Yeah, it was really
like
cool.
On the resume, yeah. Like, no, if you watch it, if you blink, you'll miss me.
That's so great. Yeah. So what made you make the move to LA?
I just thought that I went and visited over a summer, and I got like two jobs in the first week I was there. Remember, I got like the X-Files, which I got cut out of, but for some reason I still get residuals. Thank you for the 30 cents. 30 wow. checks I get now.
Nothing like a 34 cent check. Ooh, yeah. Boy.
And then there was a show, Boston Public. I got that. Okay. Remember that show on Fox back in the day?
Yeah.
I ended up doing that again as another character. And then I went back to New York and I was like bartending and struggling. And I'm like, I remember one day I was like living in this small apartment in the East Village on 7th between B and C. I heard some water running and I opened my bedroom door and there was just like brown water falling from the ceiling and the neighbor above us, their toilet overflowed and just caused a leak. And I was like, I'm out. I'm done with New York. I can't. There's coming from the sky. Like I'm out.
Yeah. You're like, congratulations, New York. You broke me.
You beat me. And then, yeah, I made the move to LA. But it's oddly enough, like a few years later, I started working a lot in New York. And so I've kind of been bi-coastal ever since, but
yeah.
Yeah.
That's always the interesting thing. You know, people have asked, oh, 'cause you grew up in LA, were you in the business young? No, you grew up in LA. You must've been working there all the time. No, nothing shoots here.
Yeah, I know.
We go everywhere, but here. And I so know. It's kind of interesting to realize that this is sort of the heart of it all, but it actually takes place essentially everywhere but Los Angeles.
Yeah, I've been fortunate. I've actually gotten a few jobs out there, which I've been lucky, you know. Yeah, it's the best. When you get an LA or New York job, I'm like, yes.
Oh, my Chicago God.
Now, which isn't so bad.
Well, Chicago has the best food. That's place. That's a good place to shoot because you can go out and just eat delicious things all the time.
Except if you have to do a scene with your shirt off, which I do coming up.
And
I thought I was aging into a character actor. I got to do this again.
You're like, oh, but I've been eating deep dish every night this week. Oh, no. Yeah, it's not ideal. Okay, so talk about, we're going to talk about our project, but we have to give the people what I know they want to know.
Okay.
Talk about where One Tree Hill fit into your life, because that's where we met. I mean, you turned Jake Jagielski into such an iconic character. We've talked about this a lot on Drama Queens. Everybody knows, by the way, including your wife, who I love so much and who's such a good sport. When we're like, oh yeah, you know that like everyone was in love with your husband and we all cried when he left. And she's like, I know, he's the best. Jamie's the coolest.
He still hasn't seen Winter Hill though.
I mean,
that's okay.
Who has? Like, who that's with any of us has seen it? Jeffrey's never seen it. Mm-hmm. Hillary teases him all the time. I don't know. I don't know what it would be like to be in a relationship with someone who is like, oh, yeah, I was a huge fan of that show. Yeah, it might be weird.
Yeah.
It might be weird.
Yeah. All right. So how did it come about? Well, I was in L.A. after New York, and I was like, you know, bartending, catering, you know, struggling.
Yeah.
Couple of jobs here and there until I got this one movie for Paramount called The Perfect Score.
Yeah.
You know, starring Chris Evans and Scarlett Johansson, Erica Christensen, Leonardo Nambert.
Casual. Totally casual cast.
It was a huge That job really did. I thought it was going to change my life even more. Like, I thought I would never have to audition again. I was so ready. But it did actually change my life. Because it was my first studio movie, like a lead in, like a lead role. And yeah. And then the writer of that wrote One Tree Hill, and also the director the producer of One Tree Hill. So they sort of, I think they wrote this character. We really got on, and they wrote this character, Jake Chigelsky, and they were like, "Hey, you want to come in and kind of recur?" And this is I was like, "Wow, yeah, this is great." I mean, I think I did like a faux audition, but like, I think they were setting it up for me. You know what I mean? They were like, So I think I did read, but kind of knowing that like it's mine to lose, which is almost more pressure. I hate when that happens. It's like, right. You're like, "Oh, you got it. Just audition." You're like, "Okay." And then I've done it so many times where I've just blown it. Cause
auditioning is terrifying and nerve wracking. And I don't know why we do it. Oh,
so bad. But yeah, and then I ended up doing One Tree Hill, and they wrote this great character, like the most endearing character of all time, you know, a single father in high school who's, you know, doesn't, he has a Zen like Buddhist quality to him. Just really well written character. I mean, honestly, people give me the credit, but I'm like, I just showed up and said the lines and was the guy, you know. I didn't write it. So it was almost impossible to not root for Jake Chigelsky. So it was like, it was great. And I don't think any of us knew that this show was going to be as iconic as it is still to this day. It's crazy. It's definitely the most, the biggest thing I've ever been a part of that's like lasted the test of time. It's crazy.
Yeah, it's pretty wild because we really didn't. We didn't have a clue. I think when I think back, what really sticks out to me is what great chemistry we all had.
Yeah.
Like it felt like there was some magic in the air whenever we were all together. And, you know, earlier today when we were doing some of the prep for the premiere of our movie this week, I remember I was saying to you and Jamie that it was always really interesting to us because, you know, we started in July. Hillary and I both have our birthdays in July. She and I had just turned 21 a week apart. Yeah. And we were still like buzzing with excitement that we could actually like walk right into bars. We didn't need to figure out how to sneak into comedy shows or whatever. And you were so cool. You were just like, "Yeah, come on, guys." You were kind of leading us around, showing us how to do things. And you said it today. You were like, "You were 21. I was only 24. And my brain kind of broke because you really did. Like, I know we were all friends. We've always felt like the same age. But you had this very stoic sort of coolness to you that we all were like, "Brian knows what he's doing. Like, if we don't know what to do about something, we should probably ask Brian. Like, he'll have the answer." And it's so crazy to me that you didn't feel that way.
No, I didn't feel that way because I had some experience, like we just went over, like I had a couple things under my belt, but I was never a series regular like you were. And I mean, I did like one big movie and like, it wasn't even that big. It didn't do that well. So it's just like, it's just funny that you thought of me as that way. And I felt like just a kid. But when you're 24, there's a big, in 21, there's a big, that feels like a big age difference at that time. Now, not a big difference. But at that time, yeah, I could see how you might look up somebody who's 24.
Yeah. Well, now we just all feel like the same age, but it is. You sort of go like, "Oh, you've really been doing this for a while." And, you know, you were coming off that movie. And for me, I think, you know, I'd done projects and some indie movies and some TV stuff. I think the longest arc I'd had on a show was on Nip Tuck. But this was my first series regular job. And so I was just looking around being like, "Okay, just do what everybody else does. Pretend you know stuff." And I think I got a little bit of a pass being from LA. People assumed I knew things. Right. And meanwhile, I was sitting there like, "Guys, 3 years ago, like I was in all girls school wearing a uniform. I don't know anything about anything."
I do remember like it happening very fast, like the success of the show. I remember like, it was only a few months. Like we started shooting and then we aired and then all of a sudden like we're doing TRL. And I was like, "Oh, this is happening. Like this is like a phenomenon that's like actually connecting with an audience." And it happened quick, right?
Yeah, it happened really, really fast. Yeah. Especially because our show, So we started filming in July for our friends listening at home. Our show was supposed to be a mid-season premiere that January. And one of their shows wasn't working. And they canned it and they put us on in September.
Oh, so we only had like an episode or two in the
game. Yeah. So we got thrown on the air really fast. And then the show took off. And by the time we went to TRL, like the folks at MTV were like, we had to hire extra security. We haven't had a crowd this big since Eminem came. And we were all like, what? Eminem? Us? Like, we had no idea what was happening because we were all just, you know, in Wilmington, like getting peel and eat shrimp after work. We had no clue what was happening out in the larger world.
Point of view, like, I wasn't a series regular. I was a guest star. I was a recurring.
That's so weird.
So, like, I was like, I'm going to TRL? Like, what? Like, I'm not even, like, you guys were the, I was getting paid nothing. Like, I was just like.
Bro, we were all getting paid nothing. It's okay.
Yeah. Well, more than me. And I didn't even know if I was going to be the next episode. I was dying to be a regular. I remember I was like, oh man, maybe they'll make me a regular. And they're like, the writers were like, ah, just wait, you know, it's looking good, but we don't know. And I was like, I was still auditioning for other things and meeting for other things. Remember, I got that other job Unscripted.
Oh, yeah. You mean that George Clooney show, Casual?
Okay. Well, you can't even find that show now.
Well,
which is weird. It's like evaporated into the ether. But it was one of the coolest things I've ever worked on, for sure. It was a HBO show called Unscripted that George Clooney and Steven Soderbergh and Grant Heslov created. And it was about actors making it in Hollywood. It was like a faux reality show where, like, I was pretending I was playing myself, but it was like a version of myself. And we were like in the whole thing. But I remember, like, HBO was like, we want to make you a regular. We want to do this series and we're going to make you a regular. And then as soon as, like, the WB at the time heard that, they're like, oh, we want to make Brian a regular. I was like, too late. I got this show. I mean, oh, man. I came back and we, you know, up for years. You know.
Well, that was one of the things that was so much fun, is every time you had some time in between gigs or things, you would come back. And, you know, I remember when you went and did Prime. And if you haven't seen Prime, like, rom-com fans, what are you doing? It's such a good movie. It's Brian and Uma Thurman and Meryl Streep. Like,
yeah, Meryl, that
hello? What an insane thing. And we were just like, our friend is a movie star. And then you would still come back and hang. And it was really special, I think, to all of us that, you know, you always made time where you could for the show. And I know that it really did create such a really special, like, lasting effect for all the fans too.
Well, I loved you guys. I love the character, and I just loved working on it. It was, you know, I wanted to do it until I actually couldn't, you know what I mean? It was like, I felt like, you know, I was on Montreal for 3 seasons and I felt like, yeah, maybe Jake could have gone on and done more, but I felt like it was a really good arc. I feel like I did, you know, I felt like his story was told and it was good. I mean, that show has like so many different iterations, like so many different cast members coming in and out. Yeah. But I don't know. And then I went off to do other things, but I tried to make time and come back when I could. That was just a crazy time in my life. Like, there was so much coming at me and it just came to a point where, like, it wasn't feasible anymore. Yeah. And I also felt like the story was told, like the.
Yeah, I get that. When you really feel like something has come to the end of its track. It's nice to go out on a high note. And I'm sure your knees thanked you that you didn't have to play basketball for 18 hours a day in Converse anymore.
Yeah, they put me in Converse All-Stars. My feet were killing me.
I remember you, like, we would have days in the gym where by the end of it, you were just hobbling. And I was like, we are too young for you to be in this much pain. Somebody get this man some insoles.
You have a good memory. Yeah, that was brutal.
You poor thing.
Being on a real sports team.
It was fun though, because you're a good basketball player. James was such a good basketball player. Obviously, so many of the guys who came in, like Narion and all the boys, were really good. Like, they really did play. And there were days I remember in the gym, like, watching you all from the sidelines, being like, God, they really are having fun. And it was sweet to watch, because I think that energy was palpable on screen.
We loved those days because we would just get to play ball. And then we play ball all the time outside of shooting too.
Yeah.
It was great. I have a lot of fond memories of that show. It's like I said, I've been all over the world. I've done a lot of different things, but that's the one job that, like, you know, I think people know me for in the most. And I'm really grateful for it. And I've just, it's so hard in this career to like do anything that connects with an audience and if that continues to connect with generations of audiences. Yeah. So I'm just really grateful for the opportunity to play that character.
I love it.
And it led us to Junction.
I was going to say, like, how do we tell folks what the fast forward looks like? Because for the friends...
Well, you went off and became a big TV star.
You're very sweet.
And a movie star.
We're all just out here trying to do things we love.
Yeah, yeah. Very successful. Didn't return my calls for years.
Oh, you wish. And now a word from our sponsors who make this show possible. The new Starz series, Marianne George, starring Julianne Moore and Nicholas Galitzine, tells a story almost too outrageous to be true, but it shockingly is. With nothing to her name and looking to elevate her social standing, Mary Villers sets her handsome and charming son, George, on the path to seduce King James I and become his all-powerful lover. This show is full of wit, scandal, action. You will not be able to look away. I know, because I couldn't. Watch the season premiere of Mary and George now, only on Starz and the Starz app.
Are you tired of your scented cleaning products smelling and cleaning like meh? Then it's time for an upgrade with the power of Clorox Scentiva. With an uplifting scent that smells like coconut, Clorox Scentiva gives you powerful clean like Clorox, but a feeling like being transported to a tropical island retreat. Imagine putting your phone on Do Not Disturb. Tuning out all the constant, just the feeling of warm sand in between your toes and a fruity drink in your hand. The ones with the little umbrella. Refresh your home to feel like an all-inclusive vacation by getting Clorox Scentiva. Also available in grapefruit and lavender scents at a nearby retail store.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snagajob is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position. Warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text SNAG to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
Ready? Let's go. Give me a vacation.
Vacation!
Give me a golf course.
70 courses!
Let's get a water sport.
Paddleboarding!
Can I get excursions?
Whale watching!
Time for chill vibes.
Beach yoga!
How about a garden tour?
Balboa Park!
Give me a dolphin. What's that spell?
San Diego!
If you're happy and you know it, San Diego is the place to show it. Book your trip at sandiego.org. Funded in part with the City of San Diego Tourism Marketing District Assessment Funds.
It is actually really interesting, isn't it? Like, that we all went off and did so much work, but we always stayed connected. And do you think that being on sets like you were so young, like going and working with producers of the Soderbergh level, like watching Meryl on set, do you really feel like you were kind of preparing yourself to write and direct, maybe even subconsciously, or was it like something, do you remember when consciously you decided that that was something you wanted to pursue?
You know, it's funny. I don't remember consciously, but I remember consciously like being a sponge whenever I'm on a set, I'm always like every day I have two goals. Like, what can I learn? And how can I be surprised? And how can I surprise myself? You know, and that goes every day on a set. You know, I'm always looking to learn. I'm always looking to surprise myself. And I think that what keeps me in the quest of being curious and listening. And And so I didn't know that I wanted to write, but I think, you know, when I went to NYU, they didn't teach us to write our own stuff. We were just training to be actors and to interpret the writer's material and be vessels for the script. And that's it. And just, you know, do that. And it, I think it's like 5 years younger than me, like the Donald Glovers, the Mindy Kalings, you know, Issa Rae is like all these people, like, are the Aziz Ansari, they all like started making their own stuff. And I'm like, oh, that never occurred to me. You know, that wasn't a thought. Like, I thought I was just in this lane, you know, and I had hyper focus on being an actor. So, you know, the truth is there's a lot of ups and downs in a career, and I was at a down point and I wasn't getting the roles that I wanted. And I was working, but not being challenged, I would say. And I had to dig deeper. And I was, I don't know, this idea came to me for Junction because, you know, I went in for a routine surgery a few years ago and I was prescribed OxyContin and I became somewhat hooked. I want to make it very clear that I'm not an addict and I'm an ally, but I did have a little scary time there, you know, that I was like, whoa, this could go either way, you know? And there's a couple months I just don't remember. And so I wanted to kind of understand the crisis, the opioid crisis and talk about that in a film. How do I do that? So I don't know. That's what started inspiring me to write. I think it was during COVID. I just was like really had time and I just want to put all my energy into it and enjoyed it. And then, funny, I told my mom, you know, that I'm writing. She's like, you know, you started as a writer. It's like, what? She's like, well, you know, when you're a kid, you used to write all those short stories. And I was like, oh, yeah, I guess I did when I was a kid. And, you know, I wrote music and I was always writing. You know, I just didn't really think of myself as a writer. I forget the question.
The question was just how did you decide to do this and, you know, with this project and to become a writer and a director? And I think it's really interesting because it kind of goes back to my first question, right? Like, who were you when you were little? You do in hindsight see that parts of yourself have always been there, that you've always been expressing this part of your creativity. And, you know, now you've got a movie that you wrote, directed, and starred in coming out. Hello.
It's crazy. I mean, I guess being an actor for so long, I love it and I continue to love it. I'm on a show right now just as an actor and I'm very grateful. And I still truly love the craft of acting and I'm very dedicated to it. But it is limiting in the sense of storytelling. Like you can only use your body and voice and interpret these lines. And I just felt like I had other skills to tell a story and I wanted to put them to the test. And I thought that this is the story I want to tell. There's just so many tools, like working with actors, working with an editor, working with the DP. It's like, it's so fun. And I wanted to set out to direct to see if I really could do it. Cause I was like, maybe I could do this. Maybe, I don't know. There's only one way to know. You just got to baptism through fire and just throw yourself into it. I just wouldn't take no for an answer. Like I just kept people tried to get me off the project. Other producers I brought it to, like maybe if you're not directing it, we can get it made because you're a first timer. Nobody cares. Nobody knows. You know that kind of thing. I'm like, no, I think I can do this. I think I want to do this. I want to do this. I'm gonna do this. And I just like kept that focus and you know eventually found the money and. You know, which was huge and that validated the project. And then, you know, came on board and all, you know, so many great actors came on board and here we go, you know?
It's so exciting. Very and you cool. put such a beautiful cast together. You wrote a really beautiful script. You know, when you first called me and said, hey, I would love it if you'd come and work on this and, you know, play my character's ex-wife and this is what it's about. I was like, yes. And you were like, well, read it. And I was like, well, I'm going to read it, obviously. But like, the answer is yes. Let's go do this movie. And
you're so sweet.
It's just true, man. I think I think the people who know you and love you, not only, you know, do we love who you are as a person, but like we know your taste level. And you are a really insightful, really talented human. And I knew that this was going to be really special. And one of the things I really appreciated about it when I sat down to read the script for the first time was the way that you humanized addiction through your character. You know, this, as you said, you experienced this guy had a routine shoulder surgery. And, you know, when you're getting your arm opened up or your back opened up, these medications can really make the difference for people being able to recover and still be in their lives, to not be so immobilized by pain. And yet there's like that razor's edge of this medication can help save your life after something potentially catastrophic happens, and it can also take your life. Mm-hmm. And I'm really curious, you know, you talk about how you didn't wind up in full addiction, but you wound up realizing that this medication was in you in a way. It was making you sick. Mm-hmm. How do you think you identified the difference? How do you think you knew to make a change before it had gone too far? Because I ask the question really because this is a crisis. This is an epidemic around the country. And I would imagine there's people listening today who have either been through this or have family going through this and are probably going, but yeah, how do I know when to say something? Or how do I know when to ask for help? So being as in tune with your body and your mind as you have to be a performer, how did you know when you were on the kind of dangerous side of that edge?
Well, my pill intake would just keep going up because it would work, you know, like started with 1, 3, 5, 10, you know, it's just like you keep popping them, sip a couple beers, hope that kicks in, you know, like, and then you just, then all of a sudden it's like 4 or 5 months go by and you're like, where am I? What's going on? What's happening?
And they just keep prescribing them to you?
Until they didn't.
Ah.
I basically was cut off. And I, you know, it's not that hard to go and find the pills. But, you know, I don't want to say that like I'm stronger than, you know, people who are addicted, because I'm not, because I was addicted. But I just didn't, and it does, the thing that people don't understand is that like when you're on taking those many opioids, it really does complicate and compromise your frontal cortex. So your decision making. Mm-hmm. That's why you're like, why would you ever do something like that? It's because they're not thinking.
Well, yeah, you're like, it's not me who did it. Yeah. It was a diminished me. It's a diminished person from the side effects.
Your decision making process is compromised. So I could have gone to the streets, found it. But I am a very, I don't know, I guess I'm lucky that I'm a very headstrong person. And I mean, the same thing, I used to smoke cigarettes. And I just didn't like having that. I needed it for when I was happy, when I needed it when I was sad. And it was the same thing. Like, I don't like having something over me, you know?
Yeah.
I'm not good with authority. I don't like people telling me what to do. I don't like, you know what I mean? So I think there's something like there's a little bit of a fighter in me that wanted to just like fight that. And it was hard getting off those pills. I was sick, very sick for a few days. And that's not a good feeling. And I understand why people don't want to feel that way. Mm-hmm. And it's, you're just physically, you know, you're sweating, you're feverish, you're like, it's like the worst flu. It's, you're nauseous, you're throwing up. It's like, it's not a good feeling, and you'll do anything to not feel that way. And that's why people go to the streets and, you know, find alternatives. But I don't know, I guess I'm just, I'm lucky I didn't get too far in too deep. I had a brush with it, you know, enough to scare me. But not enough for a full blown addiction, gratefully, because I've lost friends and I've known people that have passed, and it's a really scary thing. So that was my personal experience with it, but I'm one of the fortunate ones.
Yeah. Did that sort of full picture experience, knowing that perhaps it had gone another month, you would have been so sick that you might not have been able to stop, knowing that there's folks who you've known and loved who aren't around anymore because of this. You know, I would imagine the influx of the news where every day there's more stories and every day there's more horrible things happening. And, you know, we're watching the pharmaceutical lawsuits and we're hearing about the death rates around the country. How did all of that make you decide, okay, I'm going to write about this? Not just, I've been through this. I could advocate for a charity. I could go and speak to students, but like, I want to make something about this. I want to get this story out of me. What was that?
Yeah, I think at the time, you know, it takes a long time for these films to independent films to get made. Mm-hmm. Even though I wrote this 4 years ago, you know, it took a long time to get it made and get the funding and get it out there. But, you know, at the time there were no stories being told about it. And I think mm-hmm. that's kind of what, another thing that was pissing me off. And, you know, since then we've been very fortunate. I'm so happy that other stories are being told about this, like Dope Sick. I think it's Danny Strong did an amazing job on that Hulu, miniseries. But I just wanted to encapsulate, it was one personally, it was a way for me to get my head around this sort of overwhelming crisis and try to understand it. So I would cold call journalists who were understood what was going on with like the Sacklers and Purdue Pharma. And, you know, I was writing this while the story was changing, you know, before they were found guilty, but, and they're still trying to fight it through bankruptcy courts, but it was an evolving story, and I'm not an expert, so I sought out the experts to help me understand it. And I don't know, I just wanted to paint. I didn't want to just do addict porn and just show like one, because we've seen those movies, but you can't tell the story without telling that part of it. But I also wanted to show like all the cogs in the wheel, in the net, in the ship that is sinking. I just thought you had to tell three different points of view to kind of encapsulate all of that. And it was my way to bring awareness to the crisis that at the time people weren't speaking about, to bring humanity to it. And I didn't want to do, like I mentioned Dope Sick, because I think it's great, but we didn't have the luxury of, you know, 7-8 hours to tell the story. We had 90 minutes. So I didn't do the exposition of this is now the opioid crisis. If you want to know how the opioid crisis started, don't watch this movie. This is not like an educational film, right? I try to make a character film about seemingly good people who get caught up in this, this evil machine.
And now a word from our sponsors. The new Starz series, Marian George, starring Julianne Moore and Nicholas Galitzine, tells a story almost too outrageous to be true, but it shockingly is. With nothing to her name and looking to elevate her social standing, Mary Villers sets her handsome and charming son, George, on the path to seduce King James I and become his all-powerful lover. This show is full of wit, scandal, action. You will not be able to look away. I know, because I couldn't. Watch the season premiere of Mary and George now, only on Starz and the Starz app.
Are you tired of your scented cleaning products smelling and cleaning like meh? Then it's time for an upgrade with the power of Clorox Scentiva. With an uplifting scent that smells like coconut, Clorox Scentiva gives you powerful clean like Clorox, but a feeling like being transported to a tropical island retreat. Imagine putting your phone on Do Not Disturb, tuning out all the constant, just the feeling of warm sand in between your toes and a fruity drink in your hand. The ones with the little umbrella. Refresh your home to feel like an all-inclusive vacation by getting Clorox Scentiva. Also available in grapefruit and lavender scents at a nearby retail store.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snagajob is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position. Warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer? Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text snag to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
This is it, your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
And that's one of the things I love about the movie. You know, you structure this all in one day. And we see these three storylines, you know, these three verticals, if you will, and each lead of their own storyline. You know, Ashley's character, Dr. Davis, this doctor who runs a pain clinic, which is it a pill mill? Is it not? Who is she? Why is she so motivated? What's going on with her kids? What's happening with her finances? We see, you know, the patriarch of a big pharmaceutical family whose company is being sued over their distribution of opioids. And we see your character, Michael, this...
And your character, Allison.
Yeah, you know, this man who runs a restaurant and has a beautiful life, and but everything's sideways. The restaurant is at risk, and his wife is now his ex-wife. That's me for our friends at home. You know, the relationship he has with his child is strained. And what I love so much about what you put into our storyline is that there's obvious pain there. Obviously, this couple has been affected by this addiction and who knows whatever else. But we vacillate between fighting and laughing. Mm-hmm. You see love between these people. You see across all these three storylines, you see who these people are. You see who loves them each. You see who they go home to. You see that anybody who we've made into a statistic or a villain or a victim is a whole person.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's what I learned.
I just think it was a really, really meaningful way to show people how this happens and who it affects and what the ripple effects of this crisis are. And even though it's a movie about a heavy subject, there is love and there is joy. And there are these things that you wouldn't necessarily expect.
There.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because, you know, I didn't want this to be a tough watch all the way through. Like, we know we know what we're getting into, what the subject matter is, and it's inevitable. Like, this is not going to be a comedy. You know, so I think to be true to the subject matter, you have to be, you know, it had to be dramatic. But, you know, in saying that, I didn't want to make it hard on the audience. You know, like, I wanted to, like, you to fall in love with these people and enjoy being in a room with them and knowing them. And, you said it beautifully, like, our relationship between Michael and Allison, what I love about it is, like, they are divorced, but they love each other. They love each other so much. And I don't know. I haven't seen that. I mean, I'm sure that exists, but I haven't seen a lot of that maybe. And I thought that was really fun to play with. And there was room for comedy, and we're joking around even in the lowest of the lows. There's still jokes being cracked. And that's real. That's humanity, you know? And I just think if you want to be real and you want to portray an accurate, characterization of these people, like, you can't paint them as black or white. It's gray. And sometimes they do bad things, but they mean well. And sometimes they, you know, it's just complicated. They all have their different reasons. Even Lawrence, who's the quote unquote, you know, evil patriarch, you know, he's trying to protect his family. He's trying to protect his family's legacy. He wants, you know, he's got his own reasons for doing this. He's got his own ambitions and dreams too. And those are human beings, and we're all complicated and up, and it's not black and white. And I'm more drawn to that. That's what that's ultimately what I was most interested in writing about. Yes, it takes place within in the world of the opioid crisis, but really it's like these characters, these nuances that I was fascinated by, and then I wanted to explore.
Yeah. Yeah. And I love it. And it was so special to finally get to see the movie because, you know.
Did you watch it last night? Did you get a chance to?
Yeah. Well, I watched it. I watched it at home on Saturday. Okay, I was like, I don't want to see it with an audience for the first time. But it's really beautiful. And it was really interesting too, you know, because for me being in it, I love when I'm in something and I get swept up in it and forget that I'm in it.
Yeah.
That's always really special. And then I get to have this dual experience where I get to watch it technically and see what takes and what shots wound up in it. And I just get to be an audience member. And I had both of those things. And it flashed me back, you know, when we first come on screen together, where I was like, oh my God, I forgot how fast we shot this movie.
Oh my God, 17 days.
17 days, a whole movie in 17 days. So for our friends at home, you know, Brian's talking about the fact that it took 4 years to get this movie made from top to bottom. And yet we had to shoot it in 17 days. How did you get your head around starring in a movie, having written it, and directing for the first time? Because you didn't have the luxury of a 3-month shoot to do 2 scenes a day. We were jamming through stuff. How did you feel prepared for that? How did you keep your head screwed on?
Well, hiring actors like yourself who you didn't have to worry about. Like, I know, if I didn't give you one note, I still know you would have been great. You know what I mean? Like, just knowing you could bring it, and I did, it's just took such a relief. I mean, of course, tried to, you know, in preparation, we talked a lot about the characters and, and you know, you just in prep, you trust with your crew and your producers and your actors, and then with the scenes that I'm in with you, like, I wasn't directing those scenes. I was just in those scenes as an actor with you, you know. And I don't remember if I gave you a lot of direction on the days when we were working together, because I feel like I was just kind of in the moment with you, you know. I mean, maybe we tried different things, but I don't know. You might remember more because everything was such a blur, but I feel like I just kind of like let it go and just was an actor because I didn't want to be judging you while doing the scene with you.
Yeah.
And it must be hard for you as an actress or different. I don't know if you've worked with actors who have been directors before. I've never done that. I mean, I guess with Mindy Kaling, she was like the writer and I would work with her. And that was different. She wasn't directing though. But yeah, so I wonder how that was for you as an actor.
I will say, I think, especially when you're kind of guerrilla shooting like we were, where everything's just so fast.
Yeah.
It was really nice that we have such a history and a familiarity and a shorthand together, because it's much easier for me to sort of take the normal pressures of the first day on set and throw those away with a trusted friend. Like when you have 20 years of, fill in the blank, chemistry, intimacy, knowledge, you know, language, inside jokes with people, it changes your comfort level. And so it was kind of cool, I think, that we were just like, we have no time. We've done the thing. We've done the calls and the Zooms. We've got pages of notes in our scripts, and let's just do this. And, you know, when I think about our last day of shooting, when we finished in the gym and the kids had to be wrapped because they have their schedules, and then we went and did our whole, you know, gallery shoot in the back room. And then it was like, we got 2 hours. What can we shoot? Let's just improv a scene. Let's go.
That was awesome.
And it was so great. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we just like, you were so great. And I was like, we have you, we've got 2 hours. What can we do? Like, let's use you. Like, and that that's in the movie. There's nothing that we shot. There's not a scene that was scrapped in this movie. I didn't have a second to do overtime, you know, mm-hmm. like it was so tight. Like some of these shots, I only had one take to do it, you know, yeah. It was a really tight shoot. Mm-hmm. It's a miracle that it came together the way it did. But yeah, I mean, I think it's just like having actors like yourself who are just so good. And I remember you came up with, and also like, I really tried to not have an ego. Because how could I have an ego as a first-time director? Like, that's ridiculous. I've never done this before. I was confident in the story, in telling the story, but I wasn't confident, overly confident in pretending to know things I didn't know. And my philosophy was best idea wins. And I remember you had a line pitch that is in the movie that you came up with that I think, and I just thought it was like a throwback to a line that I said. I don't want to spoil it, but it's just like, it's in the movie and it's a really great moment. And, you know, that's all you, you know? And I mean, I guess I'm credit myself for like letting it happen, but like, that's all you, you know? I mean, you brought it.
But, well, thank you. That's the thing though. It's when you collaborate well with people and to your point, when everybody shows up and checks their ego and is just ready to go, like, it's so refreshing. That's why you can, if you have an extra hour on a day, say, hey, let's throw three people in a car and go make it up as we go along.
Yeah.
You know, that's what I think I love about independent films the most is that like nobody's showing up on an independent movie to pay the mortgage. We're showing up because we believe in the project.
Yeah.
And it does give you, it's like Goonies energy where you're like, we're going on an adventure and whatever happens, we're in it together. And it's really special.
Everybody has to be on that because like, and the crew included, like, it's like we want to roll up our sleeves. It just like, this is going to be tough and no one's getting rich. And we're just, everybody get on the same page of like wanting to tell the story. And how fun is this? How fun is this that we get to make movies?
Yeah.
And it's hard to get everybody on that page when it's like, you're doing long days and it's like, you know, like no one's getting paid. But you know, I don't know. I love making independent films. I love it because I've been on like huge budget movies and I just feel like nothing gets done and you're making a movie by like committee as opposed to like independent films where it's like a person's vision and you just get in line with that. And like, you don't have the luxury of time to screw it up. You just have to, it keeps you, there's an energy to it that keeps you on your toes and it's exciting. And I feel like that translates on camera and through, you know, I don't know. I love it.
I love it.
That's truly where my heart lies.
I love that so much. How was it for you? I mean, not only were you juggling all of the biggest plates on set, but you were also making an entire movie in 17 days with two babies at home. And Jamie, you know, for our friends at home, Jamie Chung, Brian's dreamboat of a wife. Like, you know, again, we talk about all of this a lot on the other podcast, but when we watch the show and we all gush about you and then we're like, can you believe we're so obsessed with Jamie? Like maybe we even love her more than we love him. Who could ever love anyone more than Brian? Like Hillary and I just giggle because, you know, we're obsessed with you guys. And it was such a cool thing as your friend to like, every once in a while I had to sort of zoom out and go like, look at what he's doing. Look at what she's doing. Look at this character she's playing. That's so smart and thoughtful and different than something I've seen her do before. Mm-hmm. And like, hold on, they have two twin babies that they also are dealing with right now. Like, how did you do it? How did she do it? How did you do it as a couple?
Yeah,
that is
she do
a
it?
Lot.
You know, this, I gotta just take a moment to thank my wife, Jamie Chung. Like, this movie doesn't get made without her.
Yeah.
She knew how passionate I was in telling this story and how hard it was to make this movie. And when I got my chance to do it, the kids were 6 months old, twins.
Yeah.
And that's a tough age. And this shot in Rhode Island. And we lived in Los Angeles at the time. And she let me go off and chase my dreams and held it down. And our family helped her out. And not only did she hold it down with the kids, which at a really hard age, she came to Rhode Island and knocked it out the park in her role. And so I don't know. I'm eternally grateful to her for letting me do this movie. I mean, she really did allow me to do this movie. She either said, no, it's too hard. And I get it, but she didn't. She supported me and it's amazing.
Yeah, I like that you use that word allowed, because I know what you mean. You don't mean it like in the parental sense of like, you're allowed to do this. You mean like she made the allowances. She made the space for you to take space for yourself to go and achieve something. And that, you know, I mean, we've talked to each other through a lot of relationship drama in 20 years. And like, one of the things that makes me the happiest as your friend is to see this really symbiotic relationship you two have cultivated in your marriage, where you really can like flow and tip the scales to be this total package as a team. Yeah. And to do that in the first year where you've gone from a team of two to a team of four is like an exponentially more impressive feat. And you managed to do this really impressive thing while also both giving incredible performances in this movie.
Thank
it's like
you.
Layers on layers of impressive love.
But that's the other, that's what goes back to like, I cast Jamie because I know she could kill it. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, it wasn't just because she's my wife. It's because she's an amazing actress and she's my wife. But it's like, she's an amazing actress. And that's a really hard role to come in there and be that endearing and that, you know, heartbreaking of a character and just doing in a scene or two. It's like, it's not easy work for an actor to pull that off. And she did. And I knew she had it in her, the depth in her. But yeah, I mean, it's amazing that she like, it's truly grateful. And not just Jamie, but like everybody who came to play him. Michaela Conlon, Ryan Eggold's incredible in this.
He's so good. Oh,
he's so good. Griffin Dunn, Josh Peck. I mean, Eddie K. Thomas, Hill Harper, Dash Mahag. I mean, everybody is so good in this. It's like, I can't believe I got you all in the movie. Right? Because I've worked with first-time directors. It's a risk. I don't usually do it anymore, to be honest, because I'm like, I don't have it in me, you know? So I've had some good experiences. I've had some bad experiences.
Yeah.
But it's usually a turnoff if I hear first-time director. And so for you all to come on board and just have the trust and faith in me to tell the story, it's like I'm eternally grateful. So I owe you one.
Oh, man. Always. And now a word from our sponsors. The new Starz series, Marian George, starring Julianne Moore and Nicholas Galitzine, tells a story almost too outrageous to be true, but it shockingly is. With nothing to her name and looking to elevate her social standing, Mary Villers sets her handsome and charming son, George, on the path to seduce King James I and become his all-powerful lover. This show is full of wit, scandal, action. You will not be able to look away. I know, because I couldn't. Watch the season premiere of Mary and George now, only on Starz and the Starz app.
Are you tired of your scented cleaning products smelling and cleaning like meh? Then it's time for an upgrade with the power of Clorox Scentiva. With an uplifting scent that smells like coconut, Clorox Scentiva gives you powerful clean like Clorox, but a feeling like being transported to a tropical island retreat. Imagine putting your phone on Do Not Disturb. Tuning out all the constant, just the feeling of warm sand in between your toes and a fruity drink in your hand. The ones with the little umbrella. Refresh your home to feel like an all-inclusive vacation by getting Clorox Scentiva. Also available in grapefruit and lavender scents at a nearby retail store.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snagajob is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position. Warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text SNAG to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
This is it. your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
How is it now? You know, we fast forward, I mean, almost 2 years from when we shot the movie.
Yeah.
How does this feel to be on the precipice of it coming out? And what is it like to now have toddlers? And like, does it feel crazy? Like no time has passed, but so much time has passed.
Oh man. I know. It's like, I've been very busy. Since the kids have been born. I mean, Jamie has been very awesome. I'm in Chicago right now shooting a series, not with my family. And again, she's holding it down. And so I am just like, we have waves. Like I've had waves where I've had to sit down for a few years, you know, right now mm-hmm. I'm standing up, you know, and then mm-hmm. I'll have to sit down and she'll stand up. And it's just, I think that's the beauty of being married to an actor. And she's also not one of the crazy ones.
Oh, we sure do.
We're all crazy, but you know, I feel like she's pretty grounded for being an actress, and like yeah. I don't know, I think she just knows it's my time to do this, and so she's been very helpful and supportive. But yeah, it's been crazy watching the journey of Junction. I just keep pinching myself because it's been no the whole way. Like no one's gonna make a movie about the opioid crisis. No one's gonna make your first time director. No, you're acting in it too. No, you know, it's like, no. And then all of a sudden it's like, we start winning festivals and you're like, whoa, oh, I wasn't crazy. You know, yeah. This is awesome.
You're not crazy.
Can see what I was seeing. Like, it's not about the awards or any of the accolades and stuff. It's more just like validation of like, oh yeah, this story did need to be told. And, mm-hmm. You know, I feel like it's connecting with an audience and it's so exciting. Like the press we're getting is amazing. And I can't wait for the premiere on Wednesday. And yeah. We're going to be doing the Today Show. And you know, it's like all this fun stuff. It's just like, this is the fun part. You know, this is where you get to enjoy the ride and celebrate the hard work that we all put into it. So I'm really pinching myself. I'm savoring the moment. Cause I know after this, it's like, I don't have another movie lined up to direct. Like, I don't, you know what I mean? I don't know what's going to happen. I might be super depressed at, like in a week. But right now, I'm like on cloud nine.
Oh, I love that. I love that. And you know what feels cool too is you're going to get this moment. Like you're on the ride and it's all celebration from here. And then, you know, you get a beat with your family. You get a beat with your babies. And it's so cool as your friend to watch you in this phase because you're being celebrated in your career in the way that you deserve to be. And it's been so fun to watch you be a dad because you wanted to be a dad for such a long time. Is it like everything you thought it would be and all the things you didn't know it would be?
You know what? It's given me a purpose like that. I was always, I felt like I was waiting to be a father for a long time. You know, I played with Jake Jagielski. Played a lot of dads. I think I had dad vibes, you know, early on, but it took me a long time to become a father. And it's so weird. I feel like in a weird cosmic way, like I've just kind of cracked the code. You know, like I feel super grounded. I feel like I have an extreme purpose in my life. I love my boys so much. I'll do anything for them. And it's like, it's completely about them now. As much as I have all this stuff going on, but it's like my focus is, you know, as actors, it's all about you. Can I get you a coffee? Can I do that? It's so nice to like live for something else, for something more. Like I was bored. How many concerts could I go to? How many, you know, vacations can I go on? And, you know, I was just getting a little, I just felt like selfish. I was like living my life only for me. And now I get to go, like, I hate Disneyland, but I went to Disneyland and it was great to watch it through their eyes, you know?
Yeah.
And I get to see the whole world through their eyes and them light up when they play with a train set. And it's just like, I don't know. I feel like I've been enlightened in I guess is a way to put it. Like, and I feel like the person I always wanted to be, I feel like instead of like trying to be that person, I feel like I am that person. I don't know if that makes sense. And like, even artistically, I feel like a confidence that's like in an emotional depth that I can really lock into now that I was always hoping for. And now I have as an artist. I do feel different. I do feel like I'm a different person.
I love that.
Yeah.
Maybe in a way you're actually just more yourself. Like you've grown into the fullness of yourself.
And I'm still growing. Yeah. But I do, that's another way of putting it. Yeah. I do feel like I've grown into the fullness of us. Yeah. I love it. I don't know. It's a lot, you know, I mean, having twins at this age and working and doing, it's a lot of hats and, but I'm not bored.
Yeah.
Not bored.
I love it. Yeah. I love it. All right. Well, we're in this phase, obviously, where, you know, you said it, you're kind of floating, like we're at this end stage where it's all celebration for this project that's been years in the making. But they're really great so far. You know, and you're at this point where your boys are just getting big enough that they can play with each other and you're in this groove. Yeah. But what, whether it's looking back at this last year or perhaps looking forward into what's coming in the spring, like, what do you think right now in your life feels like your work in progress?
Good question. I like how you brought it around.
You know, all the way around to the title of the project.
The last question.
It is.
I love the title of that, Work in Progress. It's great because I do. I don't feel like you ever make it. I always feel like you're growing and learning. I need to put Junction like in a week. Mm-hmm. I just feel like I can't write or think of the next story. Or I mean, in even this show that I'm on, like, I'm having trouble focusing and just like escaping into the role because I'm so still in Junction world. And I just need to close the chapter on this and celebrate it. And I think after, you know, we do our little press tour and we do the premiere, I'll be able to just kind of put it down and really like, I can't, it's hard for me. I'm trying to write something, but I'm having a lot of difficulty because I'm still in Junction world. I think I'm going to allow, like, I'm a big believer in the subconscious and just letting that, you know, it's nice to have deadlines, but it's also nice to just dream and just walk around and have thoughts and like listen and see where those thoughts take you. Mm-hmm. And I'm really looking forward to, I mean, as much as I would love to have my next project set up and ready to go in, you know, in the summertime and, you know, keep that hamster wheel going. I don't have it. Honestly, I don't have the next project set up. So I'm just gonna dream and just find it and know that this, I proved to myself that I can do it and I will do it again. Mm-hmm. It's just going to be a lot harder because now I got two kids and it's hard to write when you got two kids.
Yeah. Nap time. That's what that's for.
Nap time. Exactly.
Well, I love it. And I,
how about you? Can I ask you
what my work in progress is?
Yeah.
Oh gosh. Yeah. You know, it's interesting. It's like, I think for me, there's been this coalescing of things that I know. I love to learn. I love research. I love social science data. I love to know why we function the way we function, what things everyone's going through that feel unique, but they're actually universal. What's finally started to click for me in a really interesting way is I feel like all the knowledge I've been collecting for a long time has gotten out of my head and into my heart.
Mm.
And I didn't know that I wasn't like in my body. I didn't know that I was intellectualizing a lot rather than feeling a lot. Mm. And to be in a phase where I'm like, oh my God, do other people feel like all the way to their toes? Has everyone just been living like this? This is crazy.
Coming into yourself.
Into yourself. Yeah. So I think I did a lot of work and I think now I'm like in progress, I'm embodied, and it's wild, I think, what it can take to get there in a life, but I'm immensely grateful for how present and whole everything feels right now. And for the first time in my life, I don't feel like I'm in a rush. Like I'm just moving slow and happy.
Yeah.
And that feels nice.
You seem happy. And you know, I'm just as your friend, I'm so proud of you and just the leader you've become and the woman you've become and just like how you've always been championing social justice causes and you're a born leader. Like I look up to you as a friend. Like I'm like
you're sweet soul.
You know, and your curiosity is what keeps you going. And I don't know. I'm just so proud of you. And
thanks, bud. I'm very grateful that, you know, 20 years ago we got thrown on a basketball court together. You're a real one.
Who would have thought?
I know. We did good, huh, kid?
All right. Hey, I'm still a work in progress.
I know. I know. I can't wait to see what we're doing in the next 20.
Well, I got to write it. You write it.
Let's go. Okay. Let's do another one.
Oh, let's do a comedy now.
Oh, God, please. Let's do a rom-com.
That's what I'm working on right now is a rom-com. I want to lighten it up. I'm like,
done.
That shit was good and important, but I'm ready to just not be so serious.
You know what? I want to say forever, every time we make a movie, I want to be like, yeah, I said yes before I read it. So I say yes, let's go make a rom-com. I'm in.
All right. That helps. That helps.
Okay.
Right with your voice in mind.
Okay, great. Oh, buddy. I love you. I'm so proud of you. Thanks for coming today.
Thank you for having me. This is so fun.
Yeah. Have a ball in Chicago. I can't wait to see you at the premiere. If you sneak some deep dish home on the plane for me, I won't say no to it.
Ooh, what's your favorite one out here?
I mean, I feel like I always get in trouble, but like I was always a Lou Malnati's girl, so.
I got to try that next.
Oh, it's so good. After my shirt off,
I'm going to try all the deep dish
pizza. Yeah, yeah. After you're done with that and you don't feel the pressure, I'm going to send you my restaurant list with my star items on the menu at every single one. Yeah, yeah, I got you. Perfect. I know of some things that are off menu at Au Cheval that I can't talk about on the podcast, but I will text you.
That's the best burger I've ever had, by the way.
Ever.
That's crazy.
Ever.
Wait, you hear Chicago? There it is.
Yeah. Oh, right. I love it.
Listen,
all right,
thank you for taking the time to talk to me. This is awesome.
And thank
you're
you.
Fantastic in the movie. I can't wait for everybody to see your performance.
I can't wait for everybody to see what you made. I'm honored to be a part of it.
All right. Love yourself.
Okay, honey. I love you. I'll see you soon.
Bye. Mwah.
The new Starz series, Marian George, starring Julianne Moore and Nicholas Galitzine, tells a story almost too outrageous to be true, but it shockingly is. With nothing to her name and looking to elevate her social standing, Mary Villers sets her handsome and charming son, George, on the path to seduce King James I and become his all-powerful lover. This show is full of wit, scandal, action. You will not be able to look away. I know, because I couldn't. Watch the season premiere of Mary and George now, only on Starz and the Starz app.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
When it comes to your job, you're likely well-versed, but what about your skin? Life's busy enough. It doesn't have to be a big chore to get well-versed skin. Check out the dermatologist-tested cruelty-free vegan skincare products from Verst. It's under $25 and available at your local Target store, making it easier than ever to take care of your skin from head to toe. Podcast listeners, here's an exclusive deal. 15% off at VERSEDskin.com with code MEDIA15. That's VERSEDskin.com with code MEDIA15. Verst, available at Target.
Hey, it's Bobby Bones. Are you looking to build this year? If so, there is no better time than right now to start planning and to get your spot on the construction schedule. If you need a garage, a stall barn, a storage for vehicles, RV, boat, collectibles, or even a shop for your farm, hobbies, or car restoration projects, visit MortonBuildings.com and start your construction process. With superior materials, craftsmanship, best-in-class warranty, Morton Buildings are made to last for generations. At Morton, the difference is in the details. From their cutting-edge innovations to their craftsmen in the field, they are dedicated to surpassing expectations. Their legacy of excellence spans more than 120 years, and Morton Buildings is 100% employee-owned with more than 250,000 satisfied customers. That means they're the industry leader you can trust. When you choose Morton, you'll experience quality at every step of the building process, starting before the walls even go up. Visit MortonBuildings.com to get started today.